Insight with Jack Stogler right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's show. And now, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
I have a couple
Now we got it. Sorry, I had it messed up.
What?
We weren't on the air?
Up.
Yeah, we were off for about 5 seconds.
Uh-oh. Well, I'm still going to welcome everybody to Insight on this gorgeous Wednesday night. A little chilly out there. I have got in studio two of my favorite volunteers, I'll call them. They make a difference in the community without a doubt, and they're two of many that are from the St. Henry EMS squad, and they're both Fort Recovery boys. Mr. Dan Wendell. Hello, Daniel.
Hi, Mr. Jack. How's it going?
Very good. And his son, Nathan. Hello, Nate.
How's it going? Thanks for having us.
Good. Good. So, I tell you what, I thought, you know, we would, talk about, there's been a, recent building project. As I drive by it on my way to and from St. Henry, it looks like if it's not done, it's really, really close. And I thought we would talk about that and then talk about just the EMS field, how it's changed over the years, what it takes to be a member of the squad. What are the various stages of that? I know there's EMTs, and then I think there's different stages of that, too.
There's four different levels. You got a EMT basic or EMR, which is a first responder type thing. You got an EMT basic, which is a certified level also, which is 120 hours of classroom. And you got a EMT advanced, which is an additional 120 hours on top of that usually. And then you got a paramedic, which is usually, I'm going to say, a year-long course, or give or take a little bit. And then the continuing education goes along with that every year.
Okay, so you have to keep those certificates or those licenses up every year then?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
It's 40-some hours for the basic EMT, 60-some hours for the intermediate EMT, and 80 or 90-some hours for the paramedic, plus the ALS and PALS and other courses that they have to go along with that.
Okay. So when, I've taken the basic first aid CPR AED thing. Okay. So how much different is that from what the basic EMT, and I guess that might be like an EMR type thing that you were saying.
That's correct.
So are those two fairly close?
I guess I'm an EMT basic. I kind of take the same courses that you do. I'm certified in the same fields. I can do a lot. I guess I'm taught a little bit more in advance on that, but sure, still the same principles. The big difference for me in the next step is medication, starting IVs. Dad here as an advance can go ahead and start an IV, can administer medications where I can't, but I can do a lot more, I guess, okay, than a simple basic CPR and AEDs,
okay,
kind of scenario.
I think one of the big differences from what they do, Nate and all the rest of them, is that they take basically the same training you did and I did with Cobb Pharmacy, except we always hope we're not going to use it. They know that they're going to use it, so they really, really are paying attention because they know without a doubt that they will use every bit of that someday. Yeah. And with us, we probably won't, but we at least want to have some idea what we're doing, till the real guys get there.
I've had the unfortunate opportunity to kind of like be around when first aid was needed, mm-hmm. and I'm always the one that volunteers to go and call the SWAT.
Yes, you know, yes.
I'll let
that's still important.
The other people, I'll let the other people deal with the person that's hurting. I'll go and hold the door open for the guys with the stretcher
and all that's important.
Well,
yes, it is.
It at least makes me feel better, and I don't pass out.
Yeah,
that's the main thing.
Yeah.
So
get in the way.
Yeah. So I tell you what, we're going to take a little break. We're going to come back and get a little deeper into the EMS field and talk about the new building on the west side of St. Henry, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Hello, this is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern. Stop in and check out our new evening specials. On Monday evening, you can get a sub basket for only $7. Choose from one of our 7 different subs, plus your choice of 2 of our many sides. On Tuesday, it's our wing night featuring 50-cent wings and boneless wings and 75-cent drafts. On Wednesday evenings, you can get $3 off any large pizza, any toppings. Thursdays, you can get our hand-cut, grilled, or breaded tenderloin basket with your choice of 2 sides for only $5.50. And with all of our specials, you can eat here or take it home. Stop in any night and check out our new evening specials at Brick Street Tavern.
It's Lent, and Miracle Lanes will be featuring their hand-breaded fish on their Friday lunch buffet, in addition to many other Lent favorites, including their breadsticks and grilled cheese sandwiches. And don't forget to call ahead and reserve your lanes for your birthday parties and other get-togethers. Call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274. The Fort Recovery Academic Booster Club is having a pork chop dinner on Thursday, April 20th. It's carry out only from 4 to 6, and they're available for drive-through pickup at the elementary preschool entrance. These 10-ounce grilled pork chop dinners will be prepared by Two Willies Barbecue using the international award-winning Iowa State Fair recipe. And the dinner includes a smoked pork chop, a baked potato with butter and sour cream, applesauce, and a roll. The tickets are only $8 and must be purchased by Monday, April 10th from any high school SAD Club member, and they are also available at the high school and middle school offices or by calling Kathy Toby at 375-4227 or Kathy Etzler at 852-2572. Get your academic boosters tickets now before April 10th for the 10-ounce grilled pork chop dinner at the school offices or from any SAD member, then just head out to the elementary school and drive by the preschool entrance and pick up your dinners on Thursday, April 20th between 4 and 6. And don't forget to get a couple of extra dinners to put in your refrigerator for a quick meal later on. Just be sure to get your smoked pork chop dinner tickets before April 10th. It's finally spring. Baseball, golf, flowers coming up. But now your car needs a little attention. Call Hastings Auto Sales now at 375-4617 and have your vehicle checked over. They'll check your air conditioning, brakes, tires, tune it up if it needs it, check it over for your spring and summer trips. Or if it's finally time to trade it in, they have a great selection of quality, low-mile used cars at the lowest prices around. And if they don't have what you're looking for, they'll find it for you. Hastings Auto. Let Harold and the gang get your car ready for spring.
We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler and Dan and Nathan Wendell from the St. Henry EMS squad learned all about the EMS field. And I tell you what, we were talking about like the EMS basic, which is kind of a high level first aid CPR thing. And the big difference is you have to be prepared and willing to seek opportunities to use it. You know,
correct.
So then to go from the EMT basic to the next level, we're talking about the number of classes that it takes.
It's an extra 120 hours and an extra 40 hours of clinical time, so about 160 hours total on top of the other class. So you're looking at it 10-12 weeks, depending on how often and how long you go to classes and whatever throughout the evenings or throughout the weekends or whatever it may be. So it's a lot of dedication.
And like, where do so to take classes like that, where do you have to go?
That varies. Right now the county is starting to become an instructor, so they get some instructors inside from, and the county's EMS has got some certified instructors. That makes it a lot easier so that we don't have to go out throughout the county or wherever we got to go.
I went to Lima, or something, when I went and got mine
for my advanced for a semester and a half or whatever it was for the whole time frame, and that's two nights a week, you know, and then all your hospital time. So
yeah,
it's a lot of dedication.
Yeah. So, what do those classes cost?
The county pays for them.
Okay.
You got to give the county a commitment. For the basic EMT class, you got to give the county a commitment of 2 or 3 years. When you go on to get your advanced class, you got to give the county another commitment of 2 or 3 years. And you go on to the paramedics, you got to give the county another commitment of so many years.
Okay.
And then they'll more or less pay for the classing. Makes it a little bit more bearable, I guess you'd say.
Yeah. If a person is going to pay for those on his own, are you looking at $400 or $500? You looking at?
It depends on where you go.
I will say quite a bit more than that.
Is that right?
You can easily hit a couple.
You talk 120 credit hours. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's college credits. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's whatever that college classes cost.
Okay.
Unless you can get. And they got to have guaranteed so many students per class and so on and so forth. So it gets to be a little bit of a juggling act there.
So from a St. Henry squad standpoint, how many EMTs are there?
They got a roster now of about 30 people that are in St. Henry itself. We have four people now. We had five people in Fort Recovery until about 2 weeks ago. One of the people from Fort Recovery retired. And then Mary Einstein area, Chickasaw area, has four first responders over there also. So we're right about 36, 37 people total roster. All the people that are on the roster are a certified EMT. Whether it be an EMR, basic, intermediate, or paramedic. So it's the people that go out from Fort Recovery or Chickasaw, we're there, I'm going to say, 4 or 5 minutes before the squad.
Yep.
They know what they need when they get there. It saves 4 or 5 minutes after the squad's there for whatever the situation may be.
And in many cases, that makes a hell of a difference.
Yes, it does.
I'm sure, yeah. So as like you mentioned the paramedics, which is the most educated of the group.
Okay. Correct.
So, like, are those guys paid where everybody else is volunteers? Or
no.
Is everybody a volunteer?
Mercer County is all volunteer except for City of Salina.
Okay.
Everybody else is all volunteer. There's the St. Henry branch, the Coldwater branch, Rockford branch, and then the City of Salina has the Salina firemen. Those are the four different branches of EMS in the county. It's all volunteer. No one's paid. It's the each individual branch is compensated for their run. They get $100 a run for the EMS branch. So out of that $100, they can decide how they want to spend it. If they spend it on equipment, if they spend it on the buildings, if they spend it on the personnel, whatever it may be, that's that organization's decision.
It can go into a picnic fund to kind of show their appreciation for the
Correct.
Group, or can go to buy a new piece of equipment or whatever.
Correct. They get $100 a run, as per se, from the county EMS.
Okay. So is the county, I'm assuming that the county EMS is supported by taxpayer dollars through the county commissioners.
It's through the county commissioners. They have to provide EMS protection for the county.
Okay.
And they're doing it with the four branches of EMS service.
And that's Salina, Coldwater, Rockford, St. Henry.
That's correct.
Okay. So when you talk about the St. Henry branch, I think that's got to cover a lot of area. What's your lines?
It's probably about 120, 130 square miles. It's from the state line or the county line, Mercer County line, to Flothia Road, and then from the state line to the Mercer-Auglaize County line. that section is St. Henry's territory pretty well. Osgood covers just a little bit, Mercer County, but not much. It's part of their fire territory up in there, but and then Coldwater covers from Flothia Road to, I'm going to say, St. Anthony or Pine Road up in that area. Okay. And Salina covers to just south of Chad a little bit, and then Rockford covers the northern
part. Covers north part of that. So you talked about, like, the county line, yet I heard that you responded to a call that was out on Peters Road. So do you worry about, you, if, like, you get a call that's outside of the county, do you worry about that?
We're going, we will assist, as for say. We're going with part of the fire department.
Okay.
The fire department got called out. We're sort of trained in the field. Yep. So instead of letting, I can't say the firemen are going to help with anything they can help with. We have the equipment with us, as for say, in our personal vehicles.
Yeah.
So we'll respond just to assist at that time, and usually end up being a little bit more than that by the time you get done. But yeah, and that's the same with everywhere else here in the county. You know what
I mean? Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. So as, like, you guys look at the four locations, okay? I'm assuming that Salina has the most squad runs.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure they probably do.
So, from so how many squad runs does the St. Henry squad run a day or a week, or
it varies? I'm gonna say the average is probably 300 a year.
Okay,
give or take a little bit.
So you can figure one a day,
almost. Yeah.
Yeah. So as like you guys look at what you have, and we'll talk about the building in the next segment, but when you talk about the vehicles and the equipment, and I don't know what all is involved in it, do you guys have what you need to be good at what you do?
Yes, the county is the county provides the equipment, as for say. They provide the ambulances, so, and the equipment goes in it. I'm not saying that they buy it all right away. The life packs, which is our heart monitors. We just got a couple years ago, we bought a Lucas 2 device, which is a CPR machine, I guess you would say. It helps assist with CPR. Our organization bought the first one for our organization. The county ponied up and bought the second one, so we have one in each squad, so they're identical. Yep. We don't have to keep switching them back and forth, or do we have it or don't we have it. We know what's on each each individual unit then.
Yep. And you say they're identical, or basically identical?
Yes.
So you don't have to say, oh, which one do I have here? Because as you said before, seconds count, and if you have to stop and think about something, that can be...
Yes.
Huge. And
we try to keep them as close to the same thing as we got. But both units have the same equipment in, basically.
Yep, that's good. Yep.
So I have a question for you and both of you. And you, Nathan, you can answer this first. Why do you do this? You know, as, like, I think about what you guys do and what you see and the stress or duress that it has to cause at times. Why?
For me, it's just it's not a, you know, to get thanks or get praise for anything that I don't care about. A lot of it's, you know, I see people that need help, and I would like to think that, you know, someday, kind of a karma thing, that someone, you know, if I need it, will help me out. But I've seen my dad do it when I was growing up. A lot of my family members are on the fire department. I was kind of brought up that way, that, you know, you see somebody, you do the right thing, you go help them out, you do what you got to do. Like I said, it's not for a praise and thanks and be a hero kind of thing. I don't care about that. It's just to give back to, you know, some people that'll help me out someday, hopefully, you know, so yep. That's for me.
And you're 25 years old.
Correct.
And you've been doing this at least 5 years, maybe six, you said.
Correct, with the squad, and then the fire department I've been on since I graduated back in 2010, so I've been doing that for 7 years.
Were you one of the junior firefighters also?
Yeah, I did.
I was thinking...
I did a lot of that through high school and kind of was...
Is that still going on?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
good.
Numbers are way down, but they're always looking for more.
That is just a great, great thing.
If someone's interested, we're more than willing to bring them up and show them what it's about. I mean, it's not all glory and fighting fire all the time. I mean,
no.
But
I'm not sure that you glory and fighting fire would go in the same sentence. I think
some people like it.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. There's got to be that adrenaline rush.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Correct.
So Dan, what about you? You've been doing this for how long?
I'm going to say 27, 28 years, something like that. I don't really know exactly. 89 or 90, somewhere thereabouts. Yeah. At that time when I did it, it goes dating back, Ed Wellman was moving. There was a shortage at the time, as per se, and community support, I guess you'd say, more than anything else. There was one or two other guys in town that was doing it, but that was it. You can have too many, but sometimes you can't have enough. You know what I mean? It just sort of depends on the situation you get into. Nathan pretty well summed it up. It's just a community need. It's just a way of giving back to the community. And that's a reward in itself. You know what I mean? It just, to know that you help somebody.
Sure.
You can say there's a lot that goes with that. It just, a wide variety of situations happen. You know what I mean? Anywhere from the birth to a death, I guess you'd say. And it's just, you got the support there. You know what I mean? You can help support them in any way you can and go from there.
Yeah. So, doing this for 26 years, whatever you said it may be at this time, what is it that you taught or showed Nathan that made him decide to follow in your footsteps?
I don't know that I showed him anything. I guess he just sort of followed.
He never really showed or pushed me into anything. It was just one of those things where we'd be out going someplace or whatever and he'd get a run and I'd be along and see what had to go down, and kind of liked it ever since then. And it's nothing that you can really teach or make anybody like. It's something you gotta want to do, and
knowing Dan and his family and the family he came from, that's just in them.
Yeah,
they've always been that way.
Yeah.
You don't ask, why would I ever want to do this? You just see something that needs done, you just go do it.
Yeah, but I tell you what, I have a hell of a lot of respect for guys that can you roll up their sleeves and do more than say, hey, I'll go call the squad. So
for people like you and myself, Jack, that's probably what we should do and get out of the way.
Yes, without a doubt.
You do what you can, and get out of the way sometimes is the best thing you can do.
Yeah. So I tell you what, we're going to take a little break. We're going to come back and talk about the new building. I know this is like the third time that I've said that, but sooner or later, we are going to talk about the new building. So we'll be right back after this.
Are you looking to change your career or become a part of a company that uses the vision of their team members to assist them in becoming successful? Cooper Farms does just that. We utilize the ideas and visions of our team members to make our processes better, easier, safer today. Would you like to know more about the positions and benefits Cooper Farms has to offer? Visit our website at cooperfarms.com or stop by 2321 State Route 49, Fort Recovery, Ohio, and ask to speak with an HR representative. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hi, this is Joyce, deli manager at Wayne IGA. Did you know on Wednesdays after 3 p.m. and all day on Sundays, Wayne IGA offers a 12-piece bucket special for $12.99. Save $2 a bucket. March is also upon us. That means at Wayne IGA, it is fish season. Starting on Wednesday, March 1st, and every Friday till Easter, we will be having our deli fish. You can get our fish by the dinners or by the pound. Please call ahead to reserve your fish. It does go fast. Our number is 419-375-2865. Thank you for your business at Wayne IGA. Don't forget to check us out on our Facebook page.
Fort Recovery Insurance Agency.
I need to talk to Tyler.
Which Tyler do you mean?
My brother Tyler. He was out looking for Ralph, our dog.
Why would your brother be here looking for Ralph, your dog?
I told Tyler that you had something for everyone. So he said he was going to look there.
Well, we do have something for everyone with insurance coverage for your home, auto, farm, or business from Ohio Mutual. Maybe you should ask your parents for help.
Can I speak to my mom?
We've got something for everyone. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call 888-375-4181.
The Fort Recovery Firefighters Association will be serving their annual barbecue chicken dinners on Sunday, April 2nd at the Fire Hall. That's right. They'll be serving those great barbecue chicken dinners that we all love. Get your tickets from any of the firemen, then stop down on Sunday, April 2nd from 4 to 6 and pick them up. Or just drive through the alley from the east and pull up to the window. Be sure to grab a couple of extras for a quick lunch during the week. Fort Recovery Firefighters Chicken Dinners, Sunday, April 2nd from 4 to 6. Get your tickets now from any Fort Recovery firefighter.
We're back.
Yep, sorry.
We're back. We were chit-chatting. Yeah, we were chit-chatting. Nathan was just talking about his sex life. And
Oh, God.
You're in trouble now, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
So, this is Nathan's last time to ever agree to be on Insight, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's getting that way.
we were talking about the number of EMTs that are presently active, and there's 33 to 36, let's say. So there was a time not very long ago when you could see posters out that we need more. Is that still the case?
Oh yes. They run in 12-hour blocks, or we try to run 12-hour blocks in St. Henry from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Okay.
And 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. There's multiple people that do it 2-3 days a week, and then they do it on weekends. They got a weekend where they do the 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Okay.
On Saturday, Sunday. So there's a lot of dedication over there.
There'd have to be.
To get two or three people to do it 2 or 3 days a week, and then to do it all weekend on their weekend on call. So numbers do mean a lot, you know what I mean? There's definitely always a need.
Yeah. So when you talk about the Fort Recovery area having four right now because of the person that just retired.
Yes.
So is there always one person that is on call, or how do you guys do that?
We sort of know when people are around or not around. It's not etched in stone.
Okay.
There is times where there's nobody, but we try to keep it covered. The four of us that are here, Nathan, myself, Jerry Byram, and Jared Laux. Jared, you don't know when he's coming or going.
Sure.
Jerry's on he's work also. Nathan's work. I'm fortunate enough to work here in town that the company's nice enough. Coopers are wonderful letting us off. So it makes it easy for me to be around the majority of the time. You know what I mean? So there's pluses and minuses to everything.
Sure.
Mine is right now that I've got the ability to leave, to go on a squad run.
Yep.
So I just community give back. It just makes it nice.
So if you were looking at the right number to have, would we have six in town that was trained at that? Or
I would say more of a right. There's not really a right number or wrong number. The biggest thing, I guess, would be more in the St. Henry area. I'm not saying anything wrong with having people join from Fort Recovery,
yeah,
or Maria Stein or anything like that. It's more of trying to help cover those shifts, like Dad was talking there, throughout the day and throughout the night. That way the squad can get out and get going. You know, we're pretty fortunate here where we have several people that can start a minute helping out, you know, and everything. And if the squad does need somebody, well, we can jump in, we can go with them, you know, that's fine. We're trained to do that. So there's not really a right number to have.
A lot of it's timing.
Yeah.
If you work days or if you work nights, you can sort of split it up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you're around or when aren't you around, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
There's a lot of different things we try to look at, but we always look at everybody that's willing, you know what I mean?
Now, sure. If there is a run and you guys get there, does the squad on their way over here already know that you're here?
Yes.
Or is there a way that they automatically know, or do you have to stop whatever you're doing and let them know that you're here?
We have portable radios.
Okay.
That we can communicate with central dispatch and or the squad directly.
So you can't just push a button, keep doing what you're doing, and talk to them and say, yeah, we're okay. So that's good.
It makes it nice that they, like I say, we save them 5 or 6 minutes once they get here. You know what I mean? As for say, know what they need.
Yep.
They can bring it into the house or whatever it may be. And
you do like an initial assessment where you know their blood pressure and
whatever
symptoms.
Or CPR or whatever.
Or as soon as you get here, grab the whatever and get in here as fast as you can. Or we have it under control. You can slow down 5 miles an hour or something.
Yep.
When like you look at you know, you said that the St. Henry squad gets 300 calls a year, let's say. Okay. So how what percentage of those would be car accidents versus older people versus
that's kind of hard to
yeah.
I don't have a breakdown of that.
Okay. I'd say in the winter, it's a lot of slipping on ice.
Yeah. It's hard to say. I mean, it seems like they go on streaks as far as...
You don't have a run for a while. Yesterday, they had 4 runs. You know what I mean?
Really?
You don't know.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, that's kind of hard to just put a number on it, or I'm not even going to try to take a guess at it.
Is that right? I didn't know whether that was... You know, that's part of the stats that
they've got stats
keep,
of it.
Or,
okay. But I don't have... I don't know what them are.
Okay. So, tell you what, one of the things that I've been promising that we were going to talk about, and I'll finally get to it, is the new EMS building. It was started, what, last year about this time? Maybe in the summer?
Yeah, it was towards the fall more.
It's been a multiple-year project, for one. To know we could get the funds to do it, you know, to get the money raised and start getting enough. The committee we had was spectacular. They lined it all up. If they knew that we weren't going to reach our goal, they had it split up that we could do this much or do that much, and knew what it, on according to the prints, what it would cost to do.
Yeah.
They did a wonderful job. When they started building it, we moved into it on February the 18th. We have a temporary occupancy. There's no one there 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
We're hopefully to get all the rest of it done here in the next month or two here and get the final occupancy of it. So everything is working out for us. We still have a few things that need to be done. A few countertops or whatever needs to be made, and a couple tables and chairs waiting on and stuff like that. But in the most part, we're pretty well home, I guess you'd say now.
Yep. Good.
And we're hoping we know that April 30th we're going to have a open house, dedication open house coming up on April 30th. So we got plans for that working right now with the committee and everybody else. So
I tell you what, let's touch on that. So the open house will be at the new EMS building. It'll be Sunday, April 30th, right? Is that a Sunday?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The dedication is at 1 o'clock, and the building will be open from 1 to 4. You'll have dignitaries like Trump.
Anything's possible.
you Yeah. But, and you know what? There's people that would argue with the with the term dignitary when it comes to him. Yep. So,
but let's not bring politics.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll be here all night.
That's right. So what did this building, when you started this project, what was it estimated to cost?
When we first got our first sketches and estimates back from the designers or architects, they were looking at approximately $1.1 million. We kind of went through and made some revisions here and there, and we started to talk to some of the businesses and get some real estimates, because they're just throwing, they got a rough price, and so we really started talking to some of the local businesses and this and that and lining stuff up, and we came up with the $900,000. Yep. That was very close to what we thought it would be, and we're very close right now. I mean, it's
they're right on budget, as for say, or real close to it, and they have a little over 95% of their goals reached. Fantastic. So it's all falling into place. We're still not to our goal.
Yep.
But we're close enough. We're going to do it all. You know what I mean? And
Fantastic. Just
get it done. That way we don't have to worry about it later on. We think we can get that other 3 to 5% or whatever it is in the future.
Well, and if you put a pencil, so 3% of $900,000 is $27,000,
roughly, yeah.
I think Neil talked about writing a check for that just yesterday.
If they'll take a bad check, Neil, we can fix it right up. I was seeing you reaching for your check.
I was looking for that.
I know we got the roof over our head, we got all the plumbing, the electric, heating, cooling, everything like that, all the main necessities that we wanted. A lot of the little stuff is going to come down to the furnishing, tables for the training room, and which we acquired now, and some furniture,
chairs or something like that
for the day room. It's going to be those little things that we're going to try to get done now, that way we don't have to worry about it. But if it takes us another year, it's not going to be the end of the world.
That's okay,
but,
too.
Yeah, but our main goal was to get a roof over our head, get moved in, and get rolling out of it. And that's what we've accomplished right now. And the community's been awesome. Individuals, businesses. I mean, it's been amazing. So we'd like to thank them, and we're going to thank them for the next 40 years. I mean, it's amazing.
And we'll be thanking you guys. It's a pretty good investment for everybody. How many households, families, people do you?
Number wise, I don't know.
Article first came out in the paper, I saw it, and it came out to about $200 a person.
And
there's plenty of people that cannot afford that, but there's also plenty of people and businesses that know how important it is and have money that they can.
Right, and that's where everybody responded generously and just amazing. And, it's hard to go out and be like, can you give us $900,000? I mean, that's a big number to go out there. But, it started coming in, and then just, it was amazing how people were able to to realize that something was important,
I know that it's always dangerous to name names to a certain extent, but there's probably also 3, 4, 5 shining stars that really, really
stepped up,
made this possible.
Oh yes, very much. Okay. So
who's the people on that list?
It's kind of, I can't say a touchy subject. It's one of those where
Cooper's was a big donation.
Yeah,
Cooper Farms.
That's what Jack was wanting you to say.
Was really big. There's a couple others.
There was a couple others, but there was also every individual, any donor.
Sure.
I mean, everything.
Well, and
$5 is $5 too.
That's exactly.
We don't want to make it.
And I certainly wouldn't want to make light of that. But I also know that there were probably people that donated concrete at cost, or yes, those correct. Types of things, and I just didn't know whether
it. And there was a lot of that with the businesses, and that was something that we talked and kind of negotiated with them when we started this project. You know, and it's something that might not be. Well, they write us out a check, you know, and give it to mm-hmm. us. But there's, you know, that's still a lot of
money.
You know, that's
a lot of money you didn't have that didn't have to change hands.
Correct.
So and you don't know what their prices are, so you can't put a number on it. Really,
yeah, just, that's where it makes it kind of difficult to say who a big donor is. And, that is a big deal, and that's where the whole area in itself is awesome, man. Anybody that wants to help, well, you know, we'll do this for you. We'll help with this. Yep. You know, we can help you out a little bit here. Yep. I mean, that part of it's awesome.
Yep. And Jack and I know pretty well from doing our Christmas show where we got $17,000 thinking we were going to raise $1,000 that we had a whole bunch of fives and tens and twenties. Yep. That's mm-hmm. a huge amount of that 17,000. Yep. We had a couple of them that were 1,000, a couple of 500, and some of that. Yep. But there was a lot of fives and
even the little ones 20, add up to be a lot.
Oh, it's absolutely.
Well, and you know what? Whether you gave five or you were one of the new $1,000 people, the one thing that's true about all of them is they didn't expect their name to be said. They didn't do it because they wanted to be recognized.
Yep.
They did it because they could, and they felt like it was the right thing to do.
Yep.
That sounds like what you were talking about with these guys wanting to do what they do.
Yeah, but they're crazy.
People do what they can to help fellow man.
So I did have an opportunity to just step in the building for a second. Nathan, that wasn't you that I talked to in there, was it?
No, it was not.
Okay. It was some guy with a girl. Was like, he's supposed to have a girl in there?
Well, we'll
discuss that with him later. Caleb.
No, I just got somebody fired. But it's like, I walked in there. I mean, it's very impressive.
It is a nice facility.
Very nice. So what's the main difference, and what are some of the benefits that's going to bring to the squad?
Well, the main difference is we got room to work. In the old building, we had a row of chairs stacked up, and the squad had to be tied up against that row of chairs. And you had to walk sideways to go in the front of the door. You couldn't get around it. With this building, we had a squad run at an automobile accident last weekend, and the squads got muddy on the inside and stuff with it being wet out. You go back in the squad house, you pull the cots back out. You don't have to be outside in the cold. You can just go inside. It makes it, I'm going to say, more enjoyable for the people that are doing it to go back someplace. It used to be you had to go pull a cot out. You had to pull a squad outside, whether it be zero outside or be 100 degrees outside, wash it all out, pull it back inside, dry it all out. Now we can do it all inside. You know what I mean? It just makes it...
Sure.
And I believe Nathan, I think I got it from Nathan, was that if you had a meeting, you had to pull one of the squads out to set a table up.
To get everybody in.
We had an area about the size of your room here.
Yeah.
Where we had our... main desk, I guess you'd say.
Yep.
And we try to fit 30 people in there.
Oh.
You know.
It doesn't work very well. No.
We had 15 in here, and it was elbow to elbow.
Yep. So we pulled stand a lot out all the
standing.
Time.
Yeah.
You know, and then had our meetings in there.
Yep.
Now we got an actual room for meetings or training, and we got a little conference room, and we got a day room for if somebody has to spend hours there. And we've got called out before where we were on standby while they're doing a... whatever it is, somebody is held up in their home or whatever, and the cops are there. They sit on the station and they wait. And that might be 5 minutes, and that might be 5 hours. You never know. Well, they got someplace now to actually sit down and relax a little bit, or, you know.
Yeah, be ready to go.
Be ready, but.
Yeah.
And they also have five sleeping berths, I guess you'd say, that for people that are on call that. can stay right there at the station.
Because a lot of times that's just easier.
We have a couple people now that are out at school or whatever. When they come home, they go back up to the squad house and actually do their studying, and they sleep there for the night. They can get away from the house a little bit, but have a place to study and still make squad runs. It's dedication for them, but it's nice for us. They take somebody else's spot when they're needing off or whatever it may be.
Without a doubt. So, but I tell you what, going into this, I was always a fan and admirer of guys that do what you do, and just listening to the two of you guys talk, it certainly hasn't lessened that any. So I tell you what, we're going to take one more break here. We'll be back to talk a little bit more about EMTs, and I have a couple questions about the fire department stuff, and we'll be back to talk about some of that stuff right after this.
It's finally spring. Baseball, golf, flowers coming up. But now your car needs a little attention. Call Hastings Auto Sales now at 375-4617 and have your vehicle checked over. They'll check your air conditioning, brakes, tires, tune it up if it needs it. Check it over for your spring and summer trips. Or if it's finally time to trade it in, they have a great selection of quality, low-mile used cars at the lowest prices around. And if they don't have what you're looking for, they'll find it for you. Hastings Auto. Let Harold and the gang get your car ready for spring.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canope from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. K&L Tractor Sales has compact tractors that are rugged, reliable, smooth, and smart. They're the new Workmaster compact tractors from New Holland. They tackle your tough chores from loading and mowing to rotary cutting and clearing snow. Plus, you get smooth, comfortable operation and great visibility. Best of all, Workmaster tractors go easy on your wallet, making them a very smart choice indeed. Stop by K&L Tractor Sales today and see with the Workmaster compact tractors from New Holland.
Visit the 47-acre campground at Rossburg Acres. There are plenty of permanent and short-term camping sites available with water and electric hookups. Call 419-375-4944 or 419-852-0115 to make your reservations. If you are planning a party or a get-together, there are two large shelter houses available for rent on Sundays. One of these is sure to meet your needs. Make sure your reservations are in advance by calling 419-375-4944 or 419-852-0115 or visit RossburgAcres.com.
It's summertime.
The Fort Recovery Village Pool is in need of lifeguards for the summer pool season. If you're 15 or older and looking for a nice summer job, this is one of the best there is. You can get paid to sit in the sun, but more important, you'll learn skills to help you deal with the situations that might come up while you're at the pool. And taking on responsibility and having those skills can look good in the future to the people who do the hiring when you're looking for a job, especially in social work, teaching, and healthcare. It can also give you an advantage for a great job at college being a lifeguard. To apply, just stop in at the Village Hall and pick up an application, or you can apply online right now at FortRecovery.org and click on the Pool Manager and Lifeguards tab and fill out the application and mail it in or drop it off.
It's summertime.
I don't think that people like
that. We're on?
Yes.
Okay, so, you know, I just heard that we're looking for lifeguards. So, do you guys double as you know, lifeguards?
I don't think I really want to try that.
I think I'd burn too much.
Dan, I can see you sitting up in one of those chairs.
I can sit up there. That's fine.
There won't be any kids in the pool. I'd be yelling at them. Sit down.
And Nate, I really hate saying it, but we've been bombarded by text messages who want us to continue to talk about your sex life on the air instead of off the air.
I can't do that.
You aren't going, okay.
That's, my phone will probably blow up again.
That is probably not a bad thing. So I tell you what, you know, we hear a lot, read a lot about the number of drug overdoses. And, you know, I think Sheriff Gray in the Salina area, I mean, that's very high on their agenda. Do you guys see that more and more in this area?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's been becoming a problem that we've been running into more and more. It's just like anything where it's going to come and hopefully it goes, but I doubt it. I mean, it's one of those things that it's starting to move into here, and it's one thing that just as individuals, the community, you know, don't think it's not here. I mean, it's here. It's everywhere around you. It's, you know, people are affected that you don't even think are affected, or you wouldn't believe. I mean,
yeah,
it's around. Just
all ages, all economic levels.
Correct.
Yes.
I mean, it's it, and I think it's kind of just broke in this area. Not saying that it hasn't been here, but I have a feeling we're going to be seeing it more and more often than we would like to see it.
So does the USA Henry squad carry the Narcan or whatever it's called?
Yes, they do. Yeah. They carry it. The local police department carries it. Sheriff's department carries it. We got so much of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's sad to say, but it takes sometimes quite a bit. Sometimes, you know what I mean, it just, everybody's different.
It's fairly expensive, correct? Or do you even get involved in the cost of that? Is that also a commissioner thing?
That we don't get involved in the cost. The county refers that on with the billing and so forth. I'm not going to say what a dose of it costs.
Yeah, but I know it's fairly expensive, and it just, you know, but it has to be there, but our taxes are going to have to go up.
Yeah.
Somebody has to pay for it.
Exactly right.
Well, you know, and from you, what you hear and what you see, you know, it's something that we should pay for. I mean, that we need to pay for. You know,
yes.
You know, this is bad stuff, and we've got to try to take care of these people.
So. Well, we need to figure out how to not ever have to buy anymore and keep people off of this stuff.
Yeah, that would be...
Because you can't win.
Yeah.
There's no winning when you're using this...
Correct.
Heroin, crack, and all that stuff. And it will... It'll kill you.
Yes.
There's only a few people, small percentage, that actually ever live to a ripe old age that are using it. It's just, so you have to just stop doing it. But yeah, so
correct.
I'm through preaching now. Go ahead.
I tell you what. You know what? I know whenever that subject comes up that we're going to get at least that, you know, 20-second bite. That preaches exactly what you say, and it is the truth. So you know, both of you guys are also not only EMTs, but you are also in the fire department.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yep.
Dan, you've been on the fire department for how long?
32, 33 years, something like that.
Right out of high school, right?
Yes, sir.
Nathan?
I've been since out of high school, so at least 7 years. If not including all my junior time when I was in high school and stuff like that. So it's, quite a few years.
You know, I was fortunate enough to be at the funeral of Steve Franke, you know, and the ceremony that the fire department puts on is one of the most impressive things that I've ever seen. So is that something that, you know, you guys do for everybody that was a fire chief?
No, Steve had a lot of community support. The firemen, it's a brotherhood. It's a family. Once you're in the family, you're part of the family. I can't say that they'll always be that full extent of the ceremony, as for say, but we show our spirit by a group calling. And Steve was very active with the county organizations, and there was the following he had with the county. It was well deserved for Steve. You know what I mean? He did a lot for the district. Help forming the district board that they have with the fire department, very well deserved, and he'll be remembered for that for quite some time.
I tell you what, when like you're out at the cemetery and the pager goes off, and I think it goes off three times, mm-hmm. you know, and It's such an emotional, moving thing when it goes off that third time, and I think it says something like, Steve Franke did not respond. The numbers retired, or you know, and you know, that goes up there right with the taps and the 21 gun salute. What an impressive show, and to see there had to be at least 20 new firefighters in new various dress and stuff, and it was one of the most impressive things that I've had the honor of seeing.
Appreciate that, but it was all sort of, well, it's all just last minute, but it's just
sure.
We put it together. It's unfortunate they had to do it before. You know what I mean? Yeah. You can tell that it's been done before.
Yeah.
And it just, a lot of it depends on the family. You know what I mean? And we try to play both ends to the middle, as for say.
Yeah, sure.
It makes it really nice for a nice farewell.
Yeah, it was a tremendous tribute to him. So this next question is probably more for Dan than it is Nathan. But, you know, so being on the squad as long as you've been, what's been the greatest change that you've seen in either the types of runs that you have to make, or the expectations, or you know, what's changed over the past 25 years?
I'd say technology, and I've only been in it for a couple years.
Is that right?
It's amazing what they
It used to be, you would look at the patient, and you still look at the patient completely. You know what I mean? But it's you had to sort of judge what the patient was doing by the things that you've seen. Now you have the equipment to tell you how well he's perfusing with oxygen levels or whatever it may be. The equipment that you have to work with is tremendous, and there's a lot of equipment that was out there on the market that they don't use as much anymore, or don't use at all. And there's other equipment that they're talking about not using as much anymore because of the studies that they've been doing over the last 20 or 30 years. You know what I mean? So it's constantly changing, but technology's like everything else has got a big thing. The AEDs, I mean,
yeah,
no one ever heard of them. It always used to be a manual defibrillator that you had to, you know what I mean, and it had to. If you wasn't right, somebody was paying for it. You know what I mean? As per se.
Well, and they pretty much have made those, you know, at least the ones that you have in businesses and things, they've pretty much made those idiot-proof to a certain extent, you know?
That's what I'm saying. The technology is just tremendous. And the AEDs, you can't say enough about them. The earlier you get to a patient and the earlier you shock them, the a lot better chance they'll have. The survival rate is just tremendous for the early defibrillation people, so...
So from a defibrillation standpoint, from an AED standpoint, is there a recommendation on who should have one? If like you're an employer that's got 50 people or 100 is there some sort of a recommendation as far as
I don't know if that's more of like an insurance thing, or maybe some insurance might say X amount of employees.
A recommendation is everybody ought to have one. Like I just said,
right,
the sooner
right.
you get to them, the sooner you the defibrillation has occurred.
Yeah,
their survival rate is just tremendous. You know what I
really?
Mean? That goes back to what's a life worth. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know if that would be that reason or whatever. Yeah. I don't know what they cost. I have no idea, but...
Yeah. Well, and you know what? As with any technology, it seems like the price of them have dropped over the years, and they're much more affordable now. So, I tell you what, we're going to come back in a minute. We're going to touch one last time on the open house that's coming up, and we'll be right back to wrap things up right after this.
Hello, I'm Stacy from Brick Street Tavern. Stop in and see us on Friday and Saturday nights for our great dinner specials. You can get all-you-can-eat roasted chicken dinner for only $6.95, or you can try our 12-ounce New York strip steak dinner for only $12.95, and you can add a little zest and try your steak blackened. Both dinner specials come with jumbo baked potato and our large salad bar. We invite you to stop in at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery for our New York strip steak or all-you-can-eat chicken dinners on Friday and Saturday nights from 5 to 9 p.m.
This is Rochelle, grocery manager at Wayne IGA, Fort Recovery, Ohio. Keep a lookout for changes throughout the store as well as the new products we have coming soon. If there is anything we don't offer, let us know and we will do what we can to get it in. A big thank you to all of those who took part in donating back to the local schools through the month of February. Thanks for shopping with Wayne IGA.
Fort Recovery Friends of the Arts present Disney on Parade on April 2nd, 2017. Shows begin at 2 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. at the Fort Recovery Elementary Middle School Auditoria. Tickets are on sale now at Fort Recovery Insurance for just $5. Advance tickets are highly encouraged. Also, make sure you're there early. We have over 20 costume characters for meet and greets beginning at 1 p.m. for the 2 o'clock show and meet and greets beginning at 5:30 p.m. for the 6:30 p.m. show. If you have any questions, please send us an email at FortRecoveryFriendsOfTheArts@gmail.com or call 419-375-4041. The Friends of the Arts thank you for your support and look forward to seeing you at our shows on April 2nd.
Fort Recovery VFW is having their annual fish fry every Friday during Lent. They'll be serving their all-you-can-eat fish from 4:30 to 7 for only $7 for adults and $5 for 10 and younger. And it's not just the great fish they're serving up. They also have baked beans, macaroni and cheese, coleslaw, potato salad, fruit, and more, and coffee is included. So head on out to the VFW west of Fort Recovery on State Route 119 for your Friday night Lent supper. Just $7 for adults and $5 for 10 and under for their all-you-can-eat fish and more every Friday night during Lent.
We're back in sight. Jack Stogler, Dan and Nathan Wendell. Nathan has really hit that meat and cheese tray like hell wouldn't have it.
Well, Neil said it right in front of me, so
Well, and you
bad idea.
Why not?
You know, and you made some comment about your wife and her cooking. So
no, he didn't say that at all.
No, he didn't.
No, yeah. No, he did not.
Thanks, Neil. I could use some help up here.
Yes. You know what?
Yes, you could.
You know what? I'll always try to kind of get a young guy in trouble with his wife because I want him to live the same life that I did.
Thanks for the advice. I guess.
Hey, you know what? I'm sure you're
love you, honey.
So I tell you what, I was wanting to touch again on the open house. It is Dan. I'll let you kind of share.
Sunday, April the 30th. That dedication will be at 1 o'clock, and the open house will follow that till about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. At the new building. So
come and check it out, and you know, see what it's about. I mean,
that's fantastic. Yep. So I tell you what, I'll give you each a chance to kind of share any type of closing remarks or anything you would want to add.
I guess the biggest thing is
Nate, you might want to apologize to your wife for all the things that you said about him.
Jack. Yeah. He didn't say anything except nice things.
Yeah, we'll discuss that later.
Okay.
This might be the first time you get punched, Jack. And it would be deserved.
It would be deserved.
I guess the biggest thing. Well, thanks for having us on and letting us, you know, discuss with you guys about our organization and everything. But the biggest thing is just, you know, the thanks from the whole community, not just on the building project itself, but just as organization, you know, in need or whatever, anything or volunteering, everything, you know, everybody's willing to always help out, you know, no matter what it is. So I'd like to thank everybody, businesses, individuals, everything like that, for that aspect of it. And you know, if anybody's interested in joining, you know, there's always we're always accepting, you know, some new individuals, and we're always willing to help you out. So with that, I mean, it's always interesting. It is dedication, like you were talking, Jack, but it's, you know, it's something that you can kind of feel that it's worth it, you know. You'll get that. I mean, it gets that way, so.
Very good.
Now, I guess the biggest thing, Nathan touched on it, the volunteers, it's always looking for more. I just want to put a shout-out, I guess you'd say, to our spouses. They're the ones that got to put up with everything. We do it because we like doing it. They're doing it because they got to put up with us, I guess.
Yeah. So, well, but they know what they're getting into when they marry you.
My wife was very forewarned before we got married.
It still needs to be out there.
That's probably one of the positive deciding factors why they would want to be with somebody that is.
They go through a lot.
To go help.
You let them in church at night, or you let them at a party, or don't go to a party, or whatever it may be.
Yep.
So, a big shout out to all the spouses that put up with us going out having fun, I guess you would say.
God dang, you're going on the different calls or something.
Hey, he's got seniority. He can pick and choose.
Exactly.
Like you say, the adrenaline rush or whatever. It's a good calling. If we didn't enjoy doing it, we wouldn't doing it, because it's definitely not for the pay.
Anybody, don't suppose it is.
Yeah.
Anybody that is interested, we're always looking for some help. And we'll go from there. And also hope to see everybody on April the 30th.
Fantastic. At 1 o'clock.
And also, I guess, for the next shout out, I guess we'll shoot it out for the fire department that they're still selling chicken barbecue dinner tickets for April the 2nd, which is a week away. So
I can't wait, because I love that smell.
Good stuff, ain't it?
And I get
the backyard.
Yes, it is. It's
plus,
awesome.
I tell you what, those guys have it down to a science. They can serve, I don't know how many chicken dinners they serve, but they can get them through there in a hurry, and everybody knows what their job is, and cars pull up, and it's a smooth run machine.
Yes, it is.
So I have one other question for you guys, and that you just came to mind. So is there a separate volunteer class for somebody who would just want to be a driver?
Yes, we do have just drivers, as for say. They got to go through an EMR class, or not an EVOC class, which is an emergency vehicle driving class. They got to go through the first aid, the CPR classes, and so forth. We take different people to do that. We try to stay with people that are used to the emergency scenes.
Okay.
We don't have to retrain them. You know what I mean? They're sort of there, but we're always looking at everybody.
There's actually several people that start that way, and then they slowly progress on. They want to see what it kind of is like, and then they'll progress on from there. So anybody that's, like Dad was saying, kind of willing or interested in trying it, you know, there's ride-alongs and stuff like that to try to step your foot or dip it in rather than jump in, you know, full-fledged, and then realize,
before you spend the county's money and a whole bunch of your time doing it, see if it's going to be okay. Correct. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I tell you what, and I know from firsthand experience that having the knowledge and then wanting to implement it are two totally different things. And until you are at that scene or in that type of situation, you really don't know how you're going to react.
You're exactly right there, Jack. I mean, there's been several times where I know what needs to be done, or, you know, Dad, I mean, everybody's the same way. We know what needs to be done. Well, every scenario is different, and that part of it, they don't train you for. They just, it needs to be this, and that. Well, okay, you got this car is...
Yeah.
Well, it's not on its wheels no more. Okay, that throws a whole... I mean, it's interesting for that aspect. I mean, it's really a kind of, I'd say, a game changer, kind of a... You got to get your head into it, and you got to think. I mean, you got to be able to just... to go at it and attack it from every angle and look at it differently sometimes, where some, you know, everybody's out there, and I bet you there's six other ideas out there, and everybody's throwing them all together, and guess what? It all gets done. Yeah. But it's amazing.
And like one thing Jack was talking about, you don't want to ever have to use it, but was that last year, year before, at our pool, one of the lifeguards up there was able to save someone's life with just the same training that Jack and I have that we hope we never, ever get to use.
Correct.
And so you don't know when it's going to happen, and that can just seconds, especially in a drowning-type situation, that seconds count.
Even if people are in a public scenario, like where they got to, you know, watch for people or in a work environment with many people, even if you get a chance to do CPR training or something like that and you've never done it before, I'd highly recommend it, just so you have basic knowledge of, hey, this is what needs to be done,
and one thing
can change
that,
life.
That I've seen and then talk about with the CPR, the chest compressions, you have to keep doing it. One person cannot keep doing that. So even if you don't really remember all the stuff and somebody else does, you can be that second person doing those checking.
Correct.
Or
Correct.
The third person, so those people get a chance to breathe. So you don't have to be the person. If you can just be one of the people there, that can just make a huge difference.
Yep, you're exactly right.
Well, guys, I tell you what, I want to say from myself and from the community of Fort Recovery and St. Henry and everybody else, you know, thank you for what you guys do. You know, Jerry Byram, and who's the other one you mentioned?
Jared Laux and myself and Nathan are the four from Fort Recovery.
Guys, I tell you what, you know, there's a peace of mind and a calm that occurs when your guys' cars show up, you know, and it's something that that, you know, we are blessed to have, you know, people that are willing to do what, you know, you guys do. So thank you. I'm thrilled that you agreed to be on FR Radio. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you,
Nathan, if you want to take the rest of the cheese tray, you know, you might as well eat the damn thing anyway.
Harold's staring him down over here. Right? I think he might punch me as I walk out.
So we're going to be back with Sports Talk after this. We got a couple of coaches from the Fort Recovery baseball team, from the Fort Recovery undefeated baseball team, I can add, right, Jerry? That's right. Yep. And we have, you know, Jerry Kalp. In with Fee, and Fee, where's Bubba?
I don't know.
Uh-oh. So I tell you what, Nate and Dan, thank you, and we'll you do this again sometime.
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take her away, Neil.
Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.